Bow our heads and open in the message in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you again, Lord, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we do give hallelujah for the cross, Lord. And we thank you for what you did for us on that cross, that every drop of blood that you bled was for us, Lord, that we may have salvation and eternal life with you. Lord, we ask you to open up your word today, Lord. I ask that the Holy Spirit lead this message, Lord, and just give us wisdom to understand it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So today's message is called, oh my clicker, Back to Basics. Back to Basics. So, a disturbing trend that we're seeing among the churches today is complacency. In other words, an apparent laziness of many Christians. Christians have gotten lazy, right? They really have. And although they may go to church, they often just go through the motions, right? We just go through the motions. Many are Sunday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We talked about this a little bit today, or 9:45 to 10:45, right? We no longer see the fire and excitement for Jesus like we used to. We don't see it in the churches anymore. We just don't see it. And as a result, we often get complacent and lazy as Christians. You know, we sometimes get in a rut and we never want to try new things or step out of our comfort zone. Right? We don't want to ever do that. We like to be comfort. We like to be in a certain place. I'm good. I like where I'm at right now. Well, that's not what God wants. Right? That's how we get lazy. You know, in other words, we need to get out of the boat. Right? We need to get out of the boat. You know, we often get into a rut and we never want to try new things. Never. Right? We get into that slump and when this happens, we need to get back to the fundamentals or back to the basics. Right? Because we all go through it throughout our Christian walk. We all get into a slump. We all get into a place of complacency and laziness where sometimes we just wake up and we're like, I don't feel like going to church today. I'm just going to stay home. Right? Steelers are coming on. I don't want to miss pregame. Right? Well, we start at 9:45, so we don't miss pregame. Forgive me, Lord. But fundamentals. I lost my clicker again. Fundamental. Forming a necessary base or core of central importance. If anyone's ever played sports, or you have kids that's played sports, first thing they learn is fundamentals, right? Our granddaughter Ella, who you see help lead praise and worship on some Sundays, she just started playing soccer. Never played before, right? So the first thing that the coach did was teach her the fundamentals, right? The very basic core of what she needed to do to be able to play soccer. For people that play football, you learn the very basic fundamentals and you build your core on that. Right? So Ella's building her core on the fundamentals of soccer. Right? I played football, not my whole life because I still be playing, but all through high school. And there was a core that you learned, and you learned how to do that position or play that game. Right? Or even at work. Right? Even at work. We go to work, we learn how to do our job. The core basics of doing our job. Right, so if we ever get caught up in something at work, or we get caught up when we forget something during sports or our lives, what do we have to do? We got to revert back to what we learned in the beginning. So today, with this message being called Back to Basics, that's what I want to talk about. right? Because how often do we get caught up in things and we forget where we came from? And I'm not talking about with our lives, or I'm talking spiritually, right? I'm talking spiritually. So we have to start out with the very basic principles. Hebrews 11:1, the NLT says, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is evidence of things we cannot see." And W. E. Vine states that faith is a firm conviction. A good practical definition is confident trust. Right? Excuse me, confident trust. And who do we have our confident trust in? Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus Christ. Faith is extremely important in our lives. It makes our lives work. We have to have faith. Without faith, well, we're going to get to that right now. It's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith in Jesus is essential to finding forgiveness. Right? What's the opposite of faith?
Fear.
Doubt. Right? We can't have that. We can't have that. In Matthew 14, 30 and 31, if any of you are familiar where Jesus walked on water, but who else walked on water in that story?
Peter.
Peter. Yeah, Peter. Could we ever walk on water? Peter did. Right? Peter did. What keeps us from walking on water today?
That?
Not enough faith, right? Doubt. The world around us, there's too many distractions. There's too many distractions, right? Too many distractions. Matthew 14 says, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Right? Why did you doubt? Do we do that when our lives get all messed up? Do we cry out to Jesus? That's the shortest prayer you could ever do. Save me, Jesus. And it's the most powerful. Amen?
Amen.
So, but here, when we become lazy and complacent or comfortable, where we are in life, we sometimes feel like we don't need to ask Jesus, or we don't feel like we need to sit and read the Bible, or we don't feel like we need to go to church because everything is going what?
Good. Everything is going really good. Right?
We're blessed.
Yes.
Right? We are. And I know each and every one of you in here, right? I'm getting to know you more and more.
God
bless. And I'm not talking just with jobs or money or friends or family. You're blessed. You're growing spiritually. Right? Mm-hmm. And guess why else you're blessed? Because God woke you up today.
Because
God woke you up today. I just got a call when I was downstairs. I went down to get a bottle of water. I'm going to take a drink up right now because I forgot I was over here. But... and my pager went off. For someone not breathing. You never know. When it's going to be you not breathing. Right? So I immediately prayed for that person. I'm not going to go into details because this will be online, but we never know. Right? We never know. But when things are going so good, we just kind of kick back and I'm good. You know, Bible studies. I write down prayer requests. Got any prayer requests? Nah, I'm good.
What?
What? No, you're not. You got something. Everybody got something going on. Right? So I'm like, okay. And I'll pray something not to pray for. And I'll pray for it. But I don't like when people say that. Right? You know, when this happens and we begin to sit back and say, hey, everything's going good, our faith begins to suffer. It really does. Because doubt starts creeping in. I'm doing so good. Why am I not good at church? Things are going so good. Why don't I pray? Right? I know the word of God. I'm not going to have to read it today. Right? That all starts creeping in. Right? And our faith begins to suffer. You know, and through this, you got to know that if you're a believer, Jesus will never leave you. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. It's us who leave him. And how do we do that? Because we get complacent. We get lazy in our walk with Jesus. We leave him. Right? We walk away because things are going so good and we know how to do it on our own. Amen? We can't... And he's always there in our slump. He's always there in our laziness. He's like, here I am. What are you doing? Why are you trying to do this on your own? I'm right here. I am right. He keeps saying that to us, but we don't hear him. He's always there when we go through anything, good or bad, right? And Peter became complacent and fearful when he took his eyes off of Jesus and fell in the water. And I'm going to tell you right now that if you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. You can't get complacent. We can't. We got to stay focused on Jesus. We got to stay focused on him. But the good thing is Jesus is there to grab us. Isaiah 43:2, and this is my last slide. And I'm going to leave this up here. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. If we find ourselves falling into a slump or becoming complacent, how do we get out of it? Right? We know that Jesus is right there with us. We don't have to get complacent. We don't have to feel like we're alone. When we're walking through stuff, when we don't feel like doing anything. Scripture tells us in Isaiah, when you go through deep waters, we've all been through deep waters. Christ is always there with us. But if we get complacent and we don't feel like doing nothing, we don't want to come to Sunday school, we don't want to go to Bible study, we don't want to pray for this person, we don't want to read the Bible, we're getting lazy. We're getting complacent. Life gets too busy. We got to take a step back and breathe. And I have some pretty busy friends. And I'm extremely busy. And if I just sit back and look at all that busyness and get caught up in all that busyness, I'm going to get complacent. And I've gotten complacent. And it's not fun. It's not a good place to be. So if we're falling into that slump or becoming complacent, how do we get out of it? Well, that's a good question. That's a great question. We need to reach out to Jesus and we need to energize our faith. So how do we do that? How do we do that, Pastor Rob? Great question, church. One way is to get back into the Bible. Get back into the habit of reading the Bible. I don't care if it's on your phone, your iPad, your computer, or written. Get into it. Take time out of your day and read the Word of God. Doesn't matter where you go. Pray before you read the Holy Spirit to take you where he wants you to be. Right? God's word is eternal and designed to produce faith. If your faith is lacking, get into the word. It's designed to provide and produce faith. Romans 10:17. So when faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we're reading the Bible, we hear it, right? And you can read it out loud if you really want to hear it. And believe me, when you read it out loud or read it silently, there's a difference. There's a difference. When you read it out loud, it just seems like God gives you so much more. But God gives you so much more. And when you read it out loud, there's a less chance of getting distracted when you're reading. Your mind won't wander as much. Through diligent reading of the Bible, you can energize your faith. And reading the Bible will allow, if you let it in, to develop the confident trust, that faith you once had, or that you need. Because God's not going to let us go through that alone. He's not going to let us go. We're going to go through things, but we're not going to be alone. Right? And the Word of God was written to produce hope. God wants us to have hope. Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So let's look at an old sports adage. When an athlete gets discouraged, or he's running out of gas in an event, and they're running a marathon, right? And you get somebody that comes along, here, brother, let me help you. You know, what do we always hear in sports? Keep your eye on the prize. That finish line, right? The race of faith. Keep your eye on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. Which is Jesus Christ. That goes for us. We have to keep our eyes on Him. So we have to reactivate our love, right? A simple definition would be act of goodwill. So why would we have to reactivate our love? Let's look at the world we live in today. How much hatred, right? How much violence, how much prejudice. Right? It's in our world. It's difficult to love in our world today. It's very difficult to love. But we have to reactivate that love. We have to have that unconditional love that God has. We have to have that. We are not supposed to like somebody's sin or what they're doing, but we have to love them. I don't care what you're doing, where you're from, what you look like, what you're wearing, anything. We need to have that agape love that God has for us, that He died on the cross for us because He loved us so much. But yet we sit back, I can't love you. That keeps us complacent. That keeps us lazy as Christians because we don't know how to love. God loved us first. Revelation 2, 4-6, New King James. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. When we get complacent, we get lazy, who are we leaving? Our first love. That was to the church of Ephesus. I hold this against you. They have left their first love. Verse 5 says, remember therefore where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. When we get complacent, lazy, we tend not to seek Jesus too much. Therefore, we leave Him. So we have to reactivate our love for Him. Right? We have to. We can't leave our first love. And when we get complacent, we got to get back to that basics, right? Our love for Christ. Why did we go to Him in the first place? Right? Why did we go to Him in the first place? We have to remember where we came from. We have to remember where spiritually and broken and fallen that we came from before we accepted Him to be our Savior. When we go back to that, you know, even if it's a recommittal to Jesus, sometimes that's what it takes. I got saved when I was 14 years old, and I did not want to go all that time. And I was sure that if I would have died between then and when I came back to him, I would have been in hell. And he showed me. You were the one out of the house that I came to God. That goes for anyone who's in it. It's not just me. That's what he does. Sometimes it just takes to recommit our lives to Jesus Christ, to live separate from him. But we get so caught up in everything, we forget our fundamentals. Right? We forget about what he did for us. We get complacent. We get complacent. We have to reactivate our love for him. 1 John 4:17-19 said, love has been perfected among in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he loved us first. So what if you don't know how to love, or you struggle with loving somebody? The main step is you got to have Jesus. Right? Me personally, and when the Bible says we can't love, we don't know how to love. We think we love, right? But we don't have to love. We get that through Jesus Christ. We get that through Jesus. Right? We can love our husbands and our wives and our family and our friends. But when we have Jesus, we really know how to love. Right? We really know how to love. You got to love Jesus first. Jesus tells us that we have to love him above everything and hate everybody else. Hate is a strong word. Right? And it doesn't mean we have to hate our friends and followers. It means we have to love or our family or our husbands. We have to love him beyond anything else. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. If anyone struggles with not knowing how to love, just ask Jesus. Jesus, how do I love? How can I love this person that's hurt me so bad? Jesus will show you how to love them. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. All we have to do is go to him. Back to basics. We should enhance our joy. What is joy, Pastor Rob? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Thank you. The Greek word is chara, and this is closely related to charis, which means grace. And grace is undeserved favor, which in turn gives joy. Is joy and happiness the same?
No.
Absolutely not. Right? Absolutely not. Happiness comes and goes, right? You get happy, you get sad. Well, how do we get through getting sad or being sad? We have the joy of Jesus Christ in us. We have the joy of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord, right?
Amen.
Amen. There's joy in our hearts. Think of joy as a happy response to grace that we receive from God. That grace that we get from him. But why is it so important? Because joy is an essential element of the kingdom of God. It's an essential element. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. When we have joy in our life, the burdens and trials of life aren't so hard. So when we have that true joy of the Lord, we tend to have less chance to get lazy. Right? Because with the joy of the Lord in our hearts, we want to serve Him. We want to do for Him. We want to do for the church. Right? And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Right? And whatever we do for the body of Christ trickles down into our church. Right? All those that helped tearing the carpet up, and Lisa and Joette painted all the baseboard, put three coats on it. Right? People have ripped up their carpet and there was some hard work going on here. Right? A very close friend of mine. I've never seen one so far.
Me neither.
Right? I'm working along, right? I look up. He got all the carpets for it. Right? So all the carpets tore up, right? Alex messages me and he's like, "Hey, you still need us? We're on our way." And I'm like, "No, we're good. All the carpets up." And I'm looking at all this other work and I'm like, "No, I said, come on." So her and Sam came, but we had to help, right? We did, and we're very appreciative. And that's not doing for this building. That's doing for the body of Christ. That's doing for God. That's what it is. That's what it is. And we can get that true joy out of that. Right? And that's getting out of our comfort zone. So when I put that sign-up list up, sign it. Get out of your comfort zone. You know, when we do get, when we have that joy in our life, right? The burdens and trials of life aren't so hard. A lot of times we get complacent because life does get hard. Right? We kind of get lazy because I just don't feel good today. Right? This happened and I just don't feel like going outside today. Right? We get the blues, right? We start feeling sorry for ourselves. This is what happens. And we get very complacent in the Lord when we do that because that turns it all about us. Right, we're feeling sorry for ourselves. It's all about me. I feel so bad today. Right? We can't do that. If we truly have joy in the Lord, we can climb out of that slump. We can climb. And I'm not saying you're never going to get in there. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying if you get in there, you're a bad Christian. I'm not saying that. We all get in those slumps. We all get complacent and a little bit lazy. Right, we do, but the best part about it is we pile ourselves out with the joy of the Lord, right, and with the love of the Lord, and with the peace of the Lord, because He's always there with us, right? He's always there with us.
1 Peter 6:9, and we're almost done. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." This is one of my favorite passages in the whole entire Bible. Because it gives me hope. Because it tells us that we are going to go through these trials. I'm going to start over again. "In this you greatly rejoice." Right? We need to rejoice in our trials. "Though for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Jesus tells us that we will have joy in answered prayer. John 16 says, "In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." People got to, has everybody have answered prayers? Has God answered your prayers? Amen. Right?
Do we all have unanswered prayers yet?
We do.
Right? We do. What's this tell us? Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. What's he telling us? He's going to answer that prayer. Right? One way or another. So we get answered. You might not like it. Because we prayed some bold prayers in this church. God's answering boldly. Boldly. So we have to be prepared that when we ask of what we're going to receive. So we got to find peace. We got to find peace. Peace is defined as a harmonious relations, and it defines harmony between people, nations, God, and believers, and within yourself. You got to have peace within yourself. A lack of peace often contributes to the spiritual doldrums that afflict many Christians today. And the lack of peace in our lives gets us lazy. We don't want to read the Bible. We don't want to pray. We don't want to fellowship. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to go to Bible study. It's because we don't have that peace. Right? That's because we don't have that peace. Peace is very important in our walk with the Lord. That sounds like you hit her with a chair. You're like, oh. Peace is very important in our walk with the Lord. And I'd like to point out that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're never going to have true peace. You won't. Because peace is another crucial element of the kingdom of God. And when we go back to Romans 14, I'm going to add on to 19. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, for peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue things that make peace for us, and things by which one may edify the other. When we're at peace with God, then we can have peace within ourselves. And I truly believe this, that if you don't have these two things, you can never have peace with anything or anybody. You got to have peace with God, and you got to have peace within yourself. But you will never have peace with anybody else. It won't happen. This world needs peace. And peace with God begins with justification in Christ. Romans 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, peace continues in response to fervent prayer. When we're praying, we're reading the Bible, and we're fellowshipping, and we're coming to church, that's where peace comes from. Right? That's where peace comes from. We can get peace by doing the things that the Lord wants us to do. That's where we get our peace. We get peace within ourselves by surrendering all the crap to God. Right? Our shame, our guilt, our pain, our addictions. We surrender to God and we can have that peace. Right? Allow the Holy Spirit. Well, you really won't have a choice. So let me rephrase that. The Holy Spirit's going to convict you. When he does, we have to respond to that. Don't be lazy and quench the Holy Spirit. Don't be lazy. So Jesus, just as prayer can enhance our joy, can also help us enjoy a peace that surpasses all understanding. There's peace that I've seen over the past couple months that only God can give. That only God can give. Because in the world today, it's difficult to have peace. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, and I'm going to close with this. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. All those thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, from the Lord God, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Listen to that. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. That's God. God, you will keep in peace, in perfect peace, for all of us that trust in you. And whose thoughts are fixed on you. and not fixed on the world, not fixed on our problems, not fixed on our complacency, not fixed on our not wanting to do anything.
Our thoughts got to be fixed on Him. Because why? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways are higher than our ways. And we have to trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. He is the rock on which I stand forever. We can't stand on sand. We got to stand on a solid rock, Jesus Christ. Faith, hope, love, joy, and peace. That's what we went over today. Basics, right? Basics. Short, simple words, but so essential to the abundant life Jesus has to offer those who come to Him. But why are these areas so often in short supply in the lives of many Christians? When we see the churches today, and we see the body of Christ today, these are in short supply. Why? Because it's not being taught. It's not being taught, right? People aren't living in holiness unto God, right? And also, they neglect two fundamental tools God provides for us.
Christians neglect the two fundamental tools that we have.
We neglect them constantly. The Word of God and prayer. We don't read the Bible enough, and we don't pray enough. And I'm not going to stand up here and be a hypocrite, because that's me too. If you're lacking in these two areas, you've got to examine yourself and get back to the basics. Right? Faith, strengthen it. Hope, find it in the Word. Love, joy, and peace. And whenever you're in a spiritual lump, let these two avenues of communication with God be the keys to energizing your faith and fortifying your hope and activating your love and enhancing your joy and enjoying your peace. God wants us to have all this. But if we're just sitting around doing nothing, we're not going to have it. We're not going to have it. We're going to be miserable. Miserable Christians without peace, without hope. Getting back to basics is really easy. You just got to ask God for guidance and just do it. Right? Just get out of that slump. Just do it. Ask Him for guidance. Ask Him for help. That's all we got to do. Seems pretty easy, doesn't it? Sometimes it's not so easy when we get into that slump. And our heart is hurt. It's difficult. I'm going to read it again. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. That's God telling us that. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. You're not going to drown in your difficulties. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up, and the flames will never, ever consume you. Because God is walking before you and with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you need prayer, you want to give your life to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or you want to rededicate your life, I ask that you come up. And allow me to pray with you. What an awesome service.
Amen.
Amen.
Presence was doubled. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything you do. separated unto you, that we are separate from the world. We don't have to live in the world, Lord. That we are for you and not against you. Lord, I thank you. I ask that you bring all of us back Wednesday, Lord, and communion next Sunday, Lord, where we can commune with you and just remember how good your love is and what you did for us on that cross. And without that, we could never have you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I can't believe I saw that. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you what?
Peace.
Go with God.